With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. Current and former state penitentiary workers say they aren't surprised by an anonymous complaint about conditions at the Sioux Falls prison. Four Department of Corrections leaders are fired or on leave while a third-party investigation begins. SDPB's Ariel Zients has more.
The problems listed in the complaint are familiar to Darren, a former corrections officer at the state penitentiary. SDPB confirmed his identity, but is withholding his last name at his request.
Nothing's changed. I am still friends with a lot of the officers that still work there, that continue to work there. And looking at their posts on social media, something needs to change. And I'll be upfront and honest, something needs to change, because it's only a matter of time before another RJ incident happens.
RJ was former prison guard Ronald Johnson. Two prisoners murdered him during a 2011 escape attempt. Multiple former workers say better conditions and decision-making could have prevented that killing. They say changes were made, but it wasn't enough. Sources say the prison needs to be more careful with contraband and housing assignments. They also want to see more staff and better equipment. A current prison worker says he's complained multiple times about a lack of safety vests and gun holsters. He says a supervisor told him to use a left-handed holster, even though he's right-handed.
Honestly, when you're handling a firearm, that's not okay. That could be extremely dangerous.
SDPB confirmed the worker's identity, but is withholding his name due to his fear of retaliation. The former workers say concerns about pay, nepotism, and leadership failing to address problems are also longstanding. For SDPB, I'm Ariel Zients in Rapid City.
A former South Dakota prison official who was recently fired by Governor Kristi Noem says she wasn't told why she was dismissed. Jennifer Dreisk, the former deputy warden at the state penitentiary in Sioux Falls, had worked at the Department of Corrections for 19 years until Noem announced Thursday she was being fired along with the prison's warden, Darren Young. The Department of Human Services had been investigating an anonymous complaint that alleged that supervising corrections officers regularly sexually harassed their colleagues, that employee morale was low, and that promotions were plagued by nepotism. Dreisk said Tuesday in a statement on Facebook that she, quote, never wavered, end quote, in her duties, but she was fired without an explanation. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem is one of more than 100 speakers on the program at Freedom Fest. Rapid City hosts the annual event for the first time beginning today. The event is held at the Monument Civic Center, and organizers anticipate about 2,600 people. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has a preview.
The festival is billed as the largest liberty event in the world. The agenda includes a wide range of topics, from the Second Amendment to education, cryptocurrency, reparations, and a panel on decriminalizing sex work. Speakers include actor Dennis Quaid, Utah Senator Mike Lee, Governor Kristi Noem, and others. Mark Skousen is the founder of Freedom Fest. He calls the event the largest gathering of free minds.
We've met for the last 14 years in Las Vegas every July. And it's really been a lot of fun. We attract several thousand people from the United States and all over the world. And we talk politics, philosophy, history, science and technology, healthy living, music, dance. It's a little bit of everything.
Skousen says the festival is branching out from Las Vegas and chose South Dakota because of the pandemic. He says the state has the fewest restrictions. Freedom Fest will return to Las Vegas every other year, but be held in other American cities. Skousen says the event may trend libertarian, but is centered around civil discourse and debate over ideas.
We're trying to achieve best solutions rather than name-calling and the labeling that goes on. We try to discourage that as much as possible. So everybody feels welcome. We've had people across the political spectrum say, you know, it was really nice to have my point of view presented without someone yelling at me or saying I'm a racist or whatever the term may be to criticize people. And we desperately need that in this country.
The event costs $400 for South Dakota residents to register. Media representatives pay $150, and a live stream of the sessions costs $125. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City.
A fraternity of the far-right extremist group Proud Boys has withdrawn its sponsorship of a street dance in Scotland, South Dakota, in September. David Fennell applied on behalf of the group to have the street dance from noon until midnight, September 18th, in the Bonham County community. The city council approved the request to close a section of the city street as required for alcohol consumption and food vendors. Fennell, in a Facebook message to Kello TV, said that the Proud Boys were dropping sponsorship of the event out of concerns for safety. He did not elaborate. A Sioux Falls woman has been sentenced to prison for embezzling from her former employer. Molly Marie Aides was sentenced to 8 years at the South Dakota State Penitentiary with 4 years suspended on Tuesday. Aides was the office coordinator at Summit Food Services between 2014 and 2019. Court documents say during that time, Aides used company credit cards to buy tens of thousands of dollars worth of office supplies, groceries, gift cards, gas, hotels, and more, totaling more than $154,000. Aides turned herself in November 2020 after she was charged with felony embezzlement. The drought is affecting the produce that shows up at farmers markets around the state. SDPB's Jenna Scott has the story of one vendor's struggle to keep producing quality food.
It's been so dry in South Dakota that when it rained recently, Cody Carper had to see it.
It's in a rain like in the middle of the night, and I heard it rain, just heard it start, you know. The first thing I did was I got out of bed, popped the garage door open, and watched it rain.
Carper and his wife Chelsea own Carper Sweet Corn and Produce near Rutland, a town of about 200 people. The farm is in an area suffering a severe drought. The farm has an extensive garden and 4 greenhouses. It sells a wide variety of produce, including things like onions, tomatoes, and of course, corn. The Carpers work alongside Cody's parents, Randy and Leanne, and his brother Chris and sister Carly. Cody says one crop hurt most by the drought is the sweet corn. He says the yield from it has been smaller and customers won't want to buy it. He says vendors have to sell what he calls a marketable ear, which is a big ear of corn. The Carpers keep rye between each row of vegetables to protect the plants and hold the moisture in. Usually the rye remains green until August. This year it dried out nearly a month early. The Carpers use irrigation to salvage some of their crops. Cody says it's important to produce a quality product.
You have to have a reputation to sell it. And I've been working on that for a long time, my whole life. And it takes a long time to get it, but it doesn't take a long time to ruin it.
The Falls Park Farmers Market in Sioux Falls is one of the places the Carper Farm sells its products. Chelsea Carper says they've been fortunate with the produce they've been able to harvest and sell.
You always kind of wonder at the beginning of the year, you know, you don't really know how it's going to go and what things are going to be like. You know, do you even plant your garden? Do you try it, not try it? But we've just been able to keep everything really watered, and it's been very good so far.
Chelsea loves interacting with the farm's customers and building relationships with them.
You get to know your customers, you know their first names, you know what they're here for, what they like, and it's just nice to see them every week. And then when a new season starts, you comment about, you know, what'd you do this winter, and you made it through, and so it's just really fun to get to know everybody.
Even though it's been a tough growing season, Cody still finds a way to be thankful. He says farming is more of a lifestyle than a job. Carper Sweet Corn and Produce sells its produce at 7 locations in eastern South Dakota. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jenna Scott.
A new generation of COVID entrepreneurs is making its way in the business world. Many restaurant owners struggled to stay afloat when pandemic restrictions limited business, but others have started new ventures. That's because South Dakota's response to COVID-19 presented a unique opportunity, one that wasn't possible everywhere. Alessio DiSabatino grew up in Rome. He's lived in the U.S. for more than 25 years, mostly in California, where he owned a restaurant. He sold it in March 2020, right before that state shut down.
So I had a chance to decide where I want to go to my life.
DeSabatino moved to Rapid City. He visited once and loved it. He found a restaurant space immediately. Last November, he opened an authentic Italian restaurant downtown.
The local community supports us so much. And I love the state, I love the people, I love the hair, I love everything about it.
He named it Sabatino's, after himself. And he says business is going well. It's hard to get a table on weekends. But as much as DeSabatino loves South Dakota, he came here for another reason.
South Dakota was the only state open in America. So nobody wore a mask, we didn't have any problem.
South Dakota never issued statewide business shutdowns or mask requirements. DeSabatino likes Governor Christie now, says she's doing a great job. He has no complaints about how she handled the pandemic. His business challenge comes in another form.
The only problem that we find here in South Dakota is employees. It's hard to find them because they get paid to stay home and they don't want to work.
Hiring workers isn't a problem for everyone. Darcy Green is a one-woman operation.
I shop, I cook, I prep, I chop, I box, I get in my car, I deliver, I load, I unload.
She started Brosia Bowl last year in Brookings. It's entirely vegan. Customers in the area can order meals online, and Green delivers right to their door. She already had plans to start the business before the pandemic hit, but then city leaders imposed temporary restrictions on local businesses and restaurants. Green saw an opportunity.
And I was like, I guess we're delivering hardcore now. So I just told as many people as I could, I'm like, I deliver and I deliver for free. Because at that point, it was so early in this pandemic, restaurants hadn't figured out the delivery thing yet.
It worked. She was swamped with orders, and she thinks she knows the reason why.
Sorry to say, but I am one of those ones who did benefit from things closing down because I was willing to mask up and glove up. I think people really appreciated the steps that I was taking to make sure that I was cautious.
Green says she's grateful. She knows how hard some restaurants struggled last year, but she had bills to pay, so she went for it. Green says the pandemic made her more serious about her business because there was no backup plan. That feeling is actually pretty common during times of recession.
Some of it, unfortunately, is forced, where some people lost their jobs. Like, no better time to be thinking about what's my next professional move. Maybe I should start this business. I've been sitting on this idea for the last 10 years.
That's Brian Maynor. She's the executive director of Startup Sioux Falls. It's a nonprofit that offers support and resources to entrepreneurs. She says when the pandemic hit, her staff geared up.
Our last major recession back in 2008 was when some of the greatest entrepreneurial ventures of our time were formed. So for us, and I hate to say this, we saw it as an opportunity.
But Maynor says the pandemic differed from the Great Recession.
It was a really difficult thing for so many of us to navigate because there were no cut and dry rules as to what you could do.
There were no statewide COVID restrictions. Some cities and counties issued public health requirements. Still, many business owners had to decide for themselves what to do. Sarah Benson opened the Hello Hi last fall. It's a cocktail bar in Sioux Falls. She and her business partner signed their lease in February 2020.
So little did we know that there would be a global pandemic. That wasn't part of the plan.
Things got messy. Benson says they had to change a lot of their original plans. The opening was delayed for months, and when they finally did open, they implemented a strict mask policy.
What was seemingly a pretty public health issue got pretty political very quickly. You were very visibly telling people what you thought on certain issues.
Benson says their mask requirement was designed to keep their staff safe. Most customers respected the guidelines, but not all. Some people walked out when asked to wear a mask. A few got confrontational, even threatened violence. The bar received some negative online reviews. Benson was frustrated. However, she realizes the new cocktail bar owes its existence to the fact that South Dakota never shut down. Despite everything, Benson is proud of her decisions. She wouldn't change a thing. Except maybe next time, she won't open a new business during a global pandemic. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Megan Feary. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thank you for listening.